Well, good afternoon, everyone. And what we want to do today is to take a look at a perspective that we should all be considering as we enter this new year of 2021. Who would have believed 2020 would have been like it has been? We've all gone through things that we never dreamed would be an experience in our life. We thought things would continue on. Then all of a sudden, boom, there's this great eruption. So what I thought I would do today is at the start of this season of the year, this new year, give an overview of some things that have happened from the past decade and then into the 20th century, which historians now say was the bloodiest century in human history. More people died during that time than any other century of human experience. So here we now are into the 21st century, and we need to look at this. And so I decided I would give a discussion today on the subject of prophecy and the prophetic march of time. The actual title of the sermon is Prophecy and the March of Time. What has happened? What have we all experienced? And just a quick review, some of that for our younger folks, it won't mean anything because you didn't live back in that time. But it's good for you to hear some of this because, again, as you get older, you'll see how it all plays out in the lives of all of us as human beings. From a biblical point of view, it's important that we all stop and ask a very important question. And that question is, what time is it? What time is it? And the answer is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 in the Old Testament. And it says that the word of God reveals there is a time to every purpose, a time to every purpose. So everything that's going on in the world in which we live in is fulfilling a purpose, whether it is God's purpose, whether it's man's purpose, or whether it's the devil's purpose. The Bible addresses these areas. So where are we headed in the time that we find ourselves living now? What should we be doing in light of scriptural admonition? How should we be living our lives in this time of turbulence and upheaval? Because it's obviously not a normal time. We would all like it to be back like it used to be, but suddenly the whole world has changed, and dramatically so. And it is going to change even more so. We see all types of things that give us a kind of biblical understanding of what it says there in Matthew 24. It says, these are the beginning of sorrows. We hear of wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes in different places, floods and famine and all kinds of elements. And you say, well, what does all that signify? It signifies that the world is in a state of convulsion. It's going up and down. It's experiencing something similar that happened many, many years ago, decades, maybe centuries ago. It was written by a book. His name was Carl Jaspar. Carl Jaspar, and it was called The Axial Period of History. The Axial Period of History by Carl Jaspers. And the reason why that was so important, because it was showing how that the whole world at that time was in a state of convulsion and upheaval, and how nations were changing from day to years to months. And it didn't matter. Things were in a state of chaos. Well, you know, what has been is what will be. It's not like these are unusual in the sense that these things have never happened, but it is the degree to which they are increasing and in becoming more intensified. And that's why I thought this would be a good review. For example, here we are in the United States. We started our, you know, the 1776. From 2021, that leaves us to 245 years. We've been in existence since the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And according to history, they say no democracy has ever lasted more than 200 years. If that be so, that means we're living on borrowed time. We're living on borrowed time because we've actually moved past that. Now, what has happened in the 20th century that some of us have lived through? Others are only going to be able to read this in books or watch it on the YouTube internet. But here are some of the things that have happened in our lifetime since the Great War of World War II. From World War II, we came out as being the greatest nation on the face of the earth after the war. All the other nations were in a state of chaos because of the Great War. America basically was spared because of the oceans that protected us and the hand of God that was over us. We paid our price in blood and treasure, as they say, but nevertheless, God was with us and we survived. Then we did something that no nation ever in history has ever done. We took and we rebuilt the very enemies, the Germans on their side in Europe and the Japanese on their side in the Pacific. And what did we do? We rebuilt them. Now, no conquering power has ever done that in history. You don't rebuild your enemies that once attacked you. But we did. And we did care packages, and we did things to rebuild Europe because we were afraid of the communist threat after World War II. Well, communism was there from the 40s to the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. A quick review of things that happened during that time. We had the Korean War. We had a divided United States of America with the Vietnam War. And we had all kinds of things going on with the weather underground, Bernadette Dorn, William Ayers, much of those individuals now in teaching positions, teaching the next generation their corrupted ways. We find that there was the Kent State situation during that period of time. A future generation has grown up now learning socialism more than they did democracy. And we're supposed to be a Republican form of government and a social democracy. We saw the amazing thing of a divided Germany reunited. And from that period, we saw the United Socialist Republics of the Soviet Union, the USSR, they dissolved. We've seen the rise of China, and we've seen a lot of other things. But then when we moved into the 21st century, what has happened to us? Well, on 2001, on September, we had an incident called the Twin Tower disaster. And what happened? The churches were full during that first 3 weeks after the Twin Towers went down. Once those 3 weeks passed, it was back business as usual, and the churches were back to their limited capacities that they were experiencing. We move now to our 2020, and our world continued to grow in turmoil, and then we had something that was called the pandemic. And this affects all of us even now because we're hearing about restrictions and do this, do that. And please, all of us, remember, the threat out there is genuine. It is real. So we don't want to tempt God by doing foolishly. We want to follow rules and regulations where wisdom, common sense apply. But we don't want to let ourselves be razzle-dazzled by all this scare tactics. Because there's so much fear being generated today that people are worried and they're not sure what's going to happen. What should we do? Well, the Bible is the answer to our questions, and where we're headed is what we want to look at today. Because what should you and I be doing from the scriptural admonition point of view? I'd like you to turn with me and join first. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. The book of Ephesians chapter 5. And notice verse 16. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. This is one of my favorite scriptures for reminding us what our position should be. It applied then, and it certainly applies now as never before. You and I are told to be redeeming the time. Here we're talking about the subject of time. What time is it? What time are we living in? We're living in a time of upheaval. We're living in a time that is having serious difficulties upon the stresses of everyday life. It says, redeeming the time because the days you and I live in, are evil. That means they are having a shattering effect upon the lives of people. And you can look around, whether you're young or old, it makes no difference. You know people who are going through horrific problems and difficulties in their life as never before. Something has been building on the horizon. You and I are told in verse 15, the prior verse, it says, see then that you walk circumspectly. That means take into consideration what's going on around you. Look carefully and not as fools. And only a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So don't leave God out of the picture when we're talking about living life. It says, but as wise, walk as wise. And the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That's what we're told in the Proverbs. So, redeeming the time, making the most of every opportunity. That Greek word there is poneros, and it means hurtful in its moral and ethical sense. And boy, when you look and see what's happening to people today, people are collapsing morally, they're collapsing ethically. We've got nothing but scandals and all kinds of things that are constantly being reported on the news. It's impacting the whole society, and we have to live in this mess. But that's why the Bible tells us, come out of her, my people. We don't subscribe to what is being done out there. We have no desire to want to live like that, but we want to understand, as the scripture says, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. That this know also, this is something you and I are supposed to know. And it says, in the last days that perilous times shall come. Then it goes on and explains exactly what's going on in the minds and the hearts of people. Now that's not everybody. This is not, don't take it as a blanket all covering thing. There's a lot of good people out there trying to do the right thing. They're trying to live right. They may not understand all the ramifications on how to live, but they want to do the right thing. They want to love their families. They want to love their fellow human beings. They're good people. But there's a lot of bad ones out there too. And those bad ones are the ones that will cause a lot of hurt in the lives of a lot of people. This is one of the reasons why God tells us to walk cautiously. And then he goes on and explains in verse 5, they will even have a form of godliness. Oh, they'll talk about God, they'll preach about God, they'll say different things about God, but the truth is they don't know God. If they knew God, they wouldn't be doing some of these things they're doing. And you and I are told, but what they would do, they'd have this form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. In other words, that God rules in life, in all of our lives. And what does he say? From such, turn away. You don't want to have a relationship with people who take that approach to life. You and I are to develop a relationship with our God and our Maker who gives us every breath we breathe. So this is important. Perilous times have come. It's the way people think today. And people question this. And what is the matter with people? It seems like they've gone nuts. And nuts they have gone, and they have done terrible things, rioting, tearing on our cities. And nothing seems to be done. People are in a quandary. But the Bible tells us these things are to be expected. But you and I are not to be demoralized or look at these situations and think, well, I guess there's nothing we can do. Oh, yes, remember, we're to follow the biblical admonition as to what we're supposed to be doing in these times. And then he goes on in the rest of the chapter, just as a reminder, he says, yea, verse 12, he says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So persecution will come in many different ways. It can be mental, emotional, psychological, physical persecution. It's coming, and people are experiencing it in their lives. And then it goes on to warn us. It says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They'll even believe their own lies. People will not want to walk in the ways of righteousness. And so it goes on, you and I are told, but verse 14, continue in the things you have learned. You see, life is a learning process. In Romans 15 and verse 4, we're told everything is written for our learning. And we're to learn from this time. This is a time of trial and testing upon the people of the United States, upon the Israelite people around the world. We've just heard news here recently now that a new shift has taken place in, after a number of years, Britain has now broken free from the EU, the United Europe, that they had been hoping for, but it is now no longer. Brexit is now a reality. Britain is now, after 4 years of negotiation, is a free, independent country, no longer a part of the union that was taking place in the European Union. Well, that's very significant. We were told years ago that even though when Britain joined, that she would end up having to leave, and right now she's leaving. And she's going to have to go a different direction, and we'll have to wait and see how that will take place. All right, Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. We go to the book of Isaiah. Remember, God has spoken to us in his word through the prophets. Through the prophets. But in the end time, he has spoken to us after Christ came to this earth. He spoke to us through his son, according to the book of Hebrews. So in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, what do we have here? It's an admonition where God said to his people back then, and certainly to his people today, and to anyone who wants to walk in the ways of God. Notice verse 20, woe to them. This is serious. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight, to think they're smarter than the average person. So here we are today, having things being brought forth that are having a wave of explosion, bringing things upon people that they've never experienced before. And they're turning things backwards. That's what backsliding is. You know, evangelical churches used to talk about backsliders. And a person who is a backslider is one who does the opposite of what one should be doing. If you're supposed to be doing righteousness, and you can go backslide, that means you're going to turn to unrighteousness. And that's what people are doing today. For example, we're going to look at some areas where this explosion of evil and evil thought and behavior patterns among the people have taken effect. Everything in life, all of us in this room, are affected by the law of cause and effect. Cause and effect. There is a cause for one thing, and then there's an effect as a result of that cause. Now, some of the contributing factors that have influenced every one of us in this room as we have lived life, take notice of this, and you be the judge. You look at it and ask yourself, has this changed? Has it changed before your very eyes? Now, back in the 1950s of the 20th century, there was a TV series on program by Ron Howard called Happy Days. Happy Days. People don't have happy days today. Things have changed. But in the effect of those change, here are some of the contributing factors that I'd like to share with you that we need to remember. Television exploded in the 1950s, and people began to sit in front of television. They were nice and fun programs in those early days. Some of you might remember Kukla, Fran, and Ollie. You say, what in the world was that? That was some of the very beginning things in TV. Then there was other elements that came on later on, like the evening news. I can still remember running over to some neighbors. And they had a little TV. We didn't have a TV back at that time. And they had a little TV, a little round one. And they would have the evening news. And here we were rushing in to hear the news. And I always remember because I think it was John Cameron Swayze was the man at that time. And they had this theme. Carpets from the looms of Mohawk. And boy, we all were sitting there in front of that TV. And then we said, man, that's fantastic. Carpets by the loom. But we'd never seen anything like that before. It was fun stuff. But now, how times have changed. For example, TV has given way to many other things today. Magazines, movies, video games, the internet, etc. Now, none of those things are wrong of them by themselves. But it's how the thing is used that causes the problem. Remember, cause and effect. By watching certain things, it causes you to react to what you've been watching. And so in this particular case, we have seen things that have come that now are on TV, now are on movies, now are on the internet. Wow! Like never before. 20 years ago, many of us would never have crossed the threshold of some of these things, but we've all been exposed to it, and you can't get away from it now. You have to really fight to be an overcomer, like the Bible tells you. If you don't resist it in your mind, you're just drinking it in. And you're, well, it's just everybody else is doing it. You and I were not called to be like everyone else. You and I were called to reflect the image of Jesus Christ. He died for us so that we would not have to die the second death that the Bible talks about, which is the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death, a death from which there is no resurrection. God wants us to be a part of his family, but you're going to have to remember what is the context of what you're watching, what you're being influenced by. A whole generation of young people have been influenced by socialism because their teachers, who were a teaching authority, stood before them and told them how wonderful all these things were. Now, they believe that socialism is better than democracy. Well, capitalism is what made them blessed above all societies. That's why everybody wants to come here where capitalism has been so good to so many people. Yes, there are people hurting. Yes, there's people suffering. It shouldn't be that way, but there are problems even in government. Government creates problems for many times the people to which they're supposed to be taken care of. There was a time the American Psychiatric Society became very powerful. And they did a study, and that study ends up promoting things that are not very, very good. Have you ever heard of the term pedophilia? Well, they explain a lot of things in their so-called studies. Have you ever heard of a thing called NAMBLA? That promotes something called a relationship between a man and a boy. It's not one that's biblically recommended. The American Library Association was promoting links to 12-year-olds in the name of their right to be informed, and what they were watching was porno links and the porno explosion that was impacting the American society has been attacked, and we have suffered those attacks. And now we're going to take a look at some of the specifics of why these things have been going in the direction they're going. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 11. The Bible is a book that is written to the people of Israel, the only people who are called by the name of God. The reason why we in America and the rest of the world, in the Western world, the evangelical Christian West, we're the ones that claim to be godly people. And we profess to have God as the one we worship. The rest of the nations don't do that. That's why this Bible doesn't mean anything to the vast majority of people in the world. Why? They don't believe in this book because they got their own holy books. They have their own gods that they worship. But when we understand who the people of God are and how God has blessed and promised through a covenant he made in this book with a people called Israel, that God has made his promises secure. He's doing exactly what he promised he would do for us. So he asked this question through the prophet, Jeremiah. Boy, Jeremiah and Isaiah are just loaded with information that is timely to our day and age today. It would make an excellent study just to read those books in your spare time and be reminded of what God is saying. Because what has been is what will be. What happened to them in the past is going to happen again, because if we don't listen, then we suffer the consequences, cause and effect. Verse 11, has a nation, so he's talking about a nation, just like our nation, and he says, has a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? Has the Oriental world, do they still worship all their different gods, the Hindu gods of India, all other types of gods in Africa? Have these nations changed their gods, which are not gods? He says, but my people, notice, my people have changed. We've done something that no other nation has done. We've changed, it says, their glory, but in the actual original, they have changed my glory. He's talking about the glory of God. He says, they have changed my glory for that which does not profit. You can't find the blessing of God by trying to get a different way apart from what God has outlined. And so he says, verse 12, be astonished. People are not astonished. People have been neutralized. And so he goes on to say, O you heavens, as this horribly afraid. He says, be you very desolate, says the Lord. Why? For my people, and now he defines what our problem is, where we are headed. He says, my people have committed two evils, two very bad evils. He says, they have forsaken me. And people say to them, well, we haven't forsaken you, God. And God says, oh, yes, you have. Now, how do we know? Because Jesus told the people in his day who claimed that they worshiped him and they worshiped God. And he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things which I say? That's in Luke 6:46. So he's telling all of us as human beings, how can we profess to worship God, but we don't do what he says? And when we find that we're guilty of what we're doing wrong, we have to repent, because all these admonitions are a call to repentance. God doesn't want to see anybody die. He wants everybody to be saved, but it's not going to be that way because human beings will not cooperate. Everybody has free choice. You can choose to obey or you can choose to disobey. Now, we know that. We know that police are an authority. You can choose to obey the police or disobey the police. And we see that happening in Portland, Oregon. Boy, if you saw what happened on New Year's Eve in Portland, Oregon, they tore up the city again. Shooting bombs off, Molotov cocktails, those are type things that people use during underground war in World War II, throwing Molotov cocktails. They're throwing them at the police and at buildings. That's not normal, folks. That's bad. That's bad news. So he says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, and God is likened unto the fountain of living waters. When we have a relationship with God, You understand who you are, what you are, why you were born, why you're male, why you're female, why the world is in the condition it is, because you've got the manual of instruction from the boss, the one who is the great I Am. He says, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, the beginning and the end. Everything in the great plan that I have outlined is working in consort with my purpose. See, God is not interested in our purposes. He's interested in fulfilling his. That's why he says in Isaiah 55, your thoughts are not my thoughts. You think right now, short-term thinking. You're worried about now. I'm looking way down the road, and I call things that are not as though they are, because I'm going to make it happen. So God has that power to do that. And the more we rest in that power, the more we then have that peace of mind that passes all understanding. We know who's in charge. We know we don't have to look for false saviors because we've got the real Savior, Jesus the Christ. And he's at the right hand of God the Father, and he's there for you, for me, and for anyone who calls. That's why he says, all you, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. When we know who's in charge and we don't have to cover all those bases, it takes a load off your shoulders. It allows you then to breathe for the first time and realize, hey, this doesn't depend on me. God has promised to take care of this for you. And I'm so glad of that. He just says, keep your eye on the ball. When the ball comes, hit it. And I'll get you around those bases and we'll have a home run in the end result because you're going to win as long as you stay with God. That's the bottom line, as simple as can be. So here we are told the fountain of living waters. And what have we done? We've hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. We're trying to solve problems that deal with spiritual elements on a physical level. And physical cannot solve spiritual problems. You have to go to God for it. And that's why he says you have to repent and then be baptized, receive the Spirit of God, and you can have sin erased. All your mistakes can be erased. And they can continue to be erased. Every time God shows you where you're wrong, you go to God and say, Father, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Here, I did it again. I said I'd never do it. And I did it again. You have to just humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. And then what does God promise? I will raise you up. Yeah, you can get up, stand up again. You don't have to say, oh my, will God forgive me? I don't know. And you worry about, are you going to be saved or are you going to go, you know, be punished? All those things people worry about because they don't grasp the seriousness of what has happened. You can't leave God and be blessed. That's what he's telling us. Israel, is Israel a servant? He says, is he a homeborn slave? Why is he spoiled? What has happened to us? We're being spoiled as a country. People are taking advantage of us. I told you at the end of World War II, we were the greatest single nation on the face of the earth. We had 3/4 of the world's gold supply. And we were loaning it out to everybody else because we were the head and the rest of the world was the tail. But you and I have lived to see a change take place. It's flipped. Now we're the greatest debtor nation on the face of the earth. And that's exactly what Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 says. God told his people, he says, look, if you don't follow my rule and guideline for your well-being and for the well-being of your children, then what's going to happen is that others are going to rise up and become the lead and you're going to become the tail. And that's what is happening now. How many, it blows my mind, I don't know how you think about this, but it blows my mind when they're talking about trillions of dollars. I used to think, you know, a million. Now they talk about billions, and now you're talking about trillions. And I've even heard the word quadrillions being mentioned. I just melt when I hear that. I can't comprehend that. They're printing money faster than the printing presses can keep it going. Anyway, God tells us very plainly that we've committed a great change in our nation, and that's what's happening. Water is always the picture, the symbol of life. Without water, we die. God is the symbol of water. Without God, we spiritually die. We will not survive. And so we have to have that close contact. What it is telling us is that you and I are living. Now, nobody tells you these things as a general rule. Some voices are sounding the alarm. What the Bible is telling us, when you see these things begin to happen, he says, realize you're living in a life-threatening situation. A life-threatening situation. In the book of Hosea, God tells us, I think it's chapter 4 and verse 6. I'm going to go there real quick, make sure I'm telling you correctly on that. I don't want to just rely on memory alone. The Bible is the key. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. And what does God tell us here very plainly? My people again. The people who have done what? Changed. Turned away from God. Have a form and ceremony of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. If you deny the power thereof, that means you're only a professing Christian. You have to believe in the power of God to be a biblical Christian, plain and simple. Without acknowledging the power of God, you're pretending you like to be a person who is a Christian, but you're living your own way of life. You're living the way you want to live. So these are things that God is telling. Notice verse 6 of Hosea. My people, again, what we did before as a nation, my people are destroyed. We're being destroyed, folks, for lack of knowledge. Now, wait. There's an explosion of knowledge today. So what knowledge is he talking about? Bible knowledge. Today, the reports of Barna Research Institute, they check Christians and they ask Christians, what do you know about the Bible? And guess what? Most people, they find out, are ignorant. They say they believe in the Bible. They say they believe in God. But when you ask them, well, what about this? What about that? They get uncomfortable. They get uneasy and they back away and they don't want to talk about it. Why? It exposes the lack of understanding. And we all lack understanding, folks. You do, I do. None of us know all the things that we need to know. It is a growing process. What you know now is going to change in 5 years. Things you used to think about, things you used to do and say, all changed as you lived life. Every 5 years, things continue to change. And so we see here, he says, my people are destroyed for the lack of, it should be in translation, the knowledge of God. They don't have the knowledge of God because they don't study their Bibles. They don't talk to God daily. They go living their life, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, just like it said. We have entered the times of Noah, as the scriptures have warned. He says, and because you are being destroyed for a lack of the knowledge, I have rejected, because you have rejected the knowledge, I will also reject you. Are we being rejected in this world as a nation? We're beginning to suffer because of things we're doing that are not right. He says, therefore, you shall be no more priests to me, because why? Seeing you have forgotten the law of your God. This is even taught in so-called Christian communities that the law of God is done away. And Jesus made it very clear when he came. He says, think not. And so what did they do? They think just the opposite. God's, Jesus' own lips. He said, think not that I am come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill, show you how that law applies to worship God and to serve and love your fellow man. That's what the Ten Commandments, it's a moral and ethical law. And human beings don't always deal morally or ethically with one another. That's the problem. And because you've done that, I will also forget your children. I see so many ads for situations where it just breaks your heart to see young children suffering with all kinds of problems and difficulties today. And you have to ask yourself, why is that? If we're doing everything right, why are they showing up wrong? It makes you stop and think in light of these scriptures. Verse 7, he says, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. We were the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Has the glory of the United States of America being turned to shame before our very eyes? Is that what we're witnessing? What would another 10 years of this be like? Do we even have another 10 years? It is food for thought. No, what we're told in Romans 1:28. Let's go to the book of Romans and see what the Apostle Paul said. Romans 1 and verse 28. The whole chapter is powerful, explaining what is happening in our day and age today. But in verse 28, it summarizes this very thing. He says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. When you throw prayer out of the schools, when you take away the Ten Commandments in stone, when you abort babies and don't give them a chance to live their life, and when you go against the covenant of marital male and female, what has happened to us? Answer, we have forgotten God and what He has told us to do. We're not living as a nation accordingly. Now it's up to us as individuals to live by those values, because certainly the nation around us is not going to. And then he goes on to say, verse 28, because of that, God gave them over to. In other words, he's saying, I'm washing my hands with this. I'm going to let them go and let it all hit the fan and let them see what it's like to do it their way. And so we have right there, he gave them over to a reprobate mind. That translates to a mind void of judgment. Are you witnessing the same thing I'm witnessing? It seems like people don't know how to think straight anymore. They're in a fog. They're coming up with ideas and solutions to problems that are not solutions at all. They only create more problems. It's a mind void of judgment. They don't know how to judge properly. And that's to do those things which are not convenient or proper. So there you have a very important aspect of what God says. God is being left out of the picture. As I spoke to you earlier, that's why I mentioned about the X factor. Most people forget the X factor. If you're dealing with algebra, you know that X and Y and so forth in your mathematical equations. Man goes ahead and he plans all his equations, he forgets the X factor. God says, I rule in the kingdoms of men, and I give it to whoever I want. Now, I may allow, for my purpose, I may allow the bad guy to get in there for a while. On the other hand, if it serves my purpose to do what I want, I'll let the good guy get in. But everything will always be working to accomplish the will of God. The will of man may be one thing, but the will of God will survive. Remember, Jesus used this term. Heaven and earth will pass away, but what about God's word? My word will never pass away. That is how awesome the plan and word of God is. So what are we dealing with now? Well, Jeremiah 2 and verse 32. Book of Jeremiah once again. In chapter 2, Jeremiah 2 and verse 32. God has brought forth some very interesting parallels to help us understand. He said, verse 32, he said, talk about a young lady who's about to get married. It says, can a maid forget her ornaments? A young maid, she wears her jewelry and the various things she wears. Or a bride her attire? No, she's going to dress up in, you know, the bridal wear. Yet my people, here we go again, my people. It's always my people. It's not the nations in the world because they worship other gods. But we're the ones that claim we worship the God of the Bible. Do we really? Many of us do. There are millions of us who do. And there's millions of us who do not. They're atheistic. They're secularists. And they want no part of God. And they want no part of you or me, because we represent and want to reflect the image of God. And if we don't want that, then we're of the world. We're just like everybody else. We want to be like everybody else. That's the great danger as we grow up as human beings. It takes courage to be an iconoclast, to be an individual, to exercise character. People don't want to do it. They just want to belong. They want to belong, and they don't want anybody to say anything that is negative or what they would say judgmental. So I've always found it interesting that many people who don't know anything about the Bible, they don't profess to, but they know one scripture out of the Bible. You know what that is? It's found in the gospel account. I'll let you check it out yourself, but it says, judge not that you be not judged. They claim tolerance. Judge not that you be not judged. They don't want to be judged. They don't want to be told they're wrong. They want to be told they're right in everything they do. And you and I know we're not right in everything we do. Jeremiah 17:9 says, you and I have a heart that is deceitful above all things. That's men and women. We're not 100% with God in what we do. We have to learn to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. And that's where we're at right now. It's time to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. Ask yourself, are you growing? Have you been growing? Are you striving to grow? These are questions we have to ask ourselves, because it doesn't depend on other people. It's individually. It's asking us as individuals. Are we growing? If we grow, that means we know more about Jesus Christ. We study him. Where is he to be learned and studied? In the prophecies of the Gospels. And you're going to see something in just a little bit here that maybe you hadn't thought about. It's time to grow in the testimony of Jesus. The testimony. Revelation 19 and verse 10. In Revelation 19 and verse 10, we have the following. Revelation 19 and verse 10. John is in this vision, and he gets this instruction from one of these angelic servants. And when this angel came to him, John says in verse 10, and I fell at his feet to worship. He wanted to worship. He says, and he said unto me, see that you do it not. Why? Because we're only to worship God. We're not to worship any angelic creatures. Even though they're spectacular, even though they're awesome, it says right here, I am a fellow servant of your brethren. My purpose is to work in harmony with you as individuals. And he goes on to say, that have the testimony of Jesus, the testimony. Now, what is a testimony? When you go to a court situation, they call you up as a witness, what do they ask for? May I hear your testimony, sir? And so you give and you articulate the testimony. You give your answers to whatever it is that you're being asked. Well, notice what it says here. That have the testimony of Jesus, worship God, and then he defines for us something very important. That's why I've entitled this sermon, Prophecy, The March of Time. Because prophecy is a march of time, step by step by step, to accomplish the will of God. Notice what it says now, for the testimony of Jesus. What Jesus says in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what he says in the book of Revelation, all those elements, his words, are prophecy. You want to know about prophecy? Listen to what Jesus says, and you'll hear the voice of prophecy. And Jesus will not give you speculation. He will not give you human thought, because he doesn't think human. He thinks godly thoughts. And so this, again, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. If we want to know what time is it, listen to Jesus. Jesus will tell us what time it is. He says in Matthew 24, when you see earthquakes, wars, famines, pestilence in different places, drought conditions. They're telling us now in Africa is going to have a major human disaster in form of the drought that is building in Africa. It's going to be a crisis of massive proportion. So the spirit of prophecy, we go to Jesus. He tells us where we're marching, where we're going. Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3 and the minor prophets. I mean, there's nothing minor about them, but they are just smaller books with a very powerful message written in each one of them. And Amos chapter 3 and verse 6. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Trumpets were a sign when the shofar was blown to warn the people that there was danger on the horizon, usually a military attack or something of that nature. What do we have today? If you heard an air raid siren going off, or one of the modern sirens, I prefer the old sirens of years ago that used to whine. They used to moan, and now they got these different type of tornado warning sirens. But here it says, this trumpet is blown, and shall you not be afraid? Shall they come there be evil or harm or mischief in the city, and the Lord has not done it? No, God has allowed it. He's behind it because he sees the things that are going on in his people. And so what happens there? People are left hanging. Notice Proverbs 29. And verse 18, Proverbs 29 and verse 18. And here again, why prophecy is so important when you understand the march of time and how time is rapidly going by. Proverbs 29 and verse 18. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, has to do with the prophecy, looking forward, just like we heard on the Beyond Today. Not looking back, other than the fact to learn the lessons, but not to dwell on the back, but to go forward, because the forward is the motion God wants us to constantly keep in mind. We're called to move forward that we might serve God in our generation. Where there is no prophecy, according to the Revised Standard Version, it says, people cast off restraint, but blessed is he that keeps the law. Do you and I see people today casting off restraint? I sure do when I turn on the news and I watch and I see people going nuts in the street, busting windows, stealing things. Oh, they have a right because they're hungry. Oh, they have a right to be law-abiding like everybody else, not to be lawless. But because lawlessness is going to rage in this end time, you and I are told we are entering Matthew 24:8, the time of the beginning of sorrows. And people are carrying a sorrowful burden, folks. They really are. And you can talk to people and find out when they unload with you and tell you what's really on their mind. Oh boy, are they carrying some problems. Years ago, people would ask questions about the Bible. Today, people don't even ask questions about the Bible. They're so absorbed in the cares of this world and the problems they're struggling with, they have forgotten God, just like the scripture says. It's time to be strong in the Spirit. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Why? Book of Ephesians, chapter 6 and verse 10. Why should we be strong in the Spirit? Because that's the admonition of the Scripture. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You're going to need it. We're all going to need it in the years ahead. That's where the blessing of God will be. It'll come from His merciful hand. We're engaged in a very serious spiritual battle. We're called to be overcomers. And we're told in 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 and 7, that God is the supplier to help us in this time. I'd like to just wrap this up with a couple more scriptures, but my purpose again was just to make you aware of what time is it? What time is it? Because time is moving rapidly. Many of us in the years ago, if we go for, and it all depends on the grace of God, every year, as he said, we lose friends, don't we? We see people that we've known, shared life with, and they're not there anymore. But life goes on. And it continues to follow the format that God has outlined, and it will bring about what God has ordained for all mankind. Romans 13. In Romans 13, and we begin in verse 11. It says, and knowing that the time, here again we're talking about the time it is now high time. There's a sense of urgency here. It's time, whoa. It's like you suddenly realize you've got an appointment, you have to be somewhere at a certain time. You think, oh man, I got to get moving. That's the sense of this. We've got to get moving. It says it is high time to awake out of sleep because we're being put to sleep by the world in which we live. We're getting just too drunken with all that we have been so blessed to have. We take everything for granted. Young people today are so blessed like no other generation. How often do they stop to think about, you mean you bought me that new cell phone? It cost how much? Nearly $1,000? Wow. Money. How many times do young people stop and say, oh, thank you, Mom, thank you, Dad. That's fantastic. I just really appreciate this. You know, for all the wonderful things God did for Adam and Eve in the garden, if you go back there, you'll see something very interesting. They never told God once, thank you, God, for this beautiful garden. Thank you for all those trees. We can eat from anything. They're delicious. The fantastic fruits you've given us. They just never, they were too naive, too inexperienced. There were things they were going to have to learn. They were going to have to learn to appreciate good. You have to suffer under evil. You suffer under evil. And that means heartache, sorrow. And we live in a world of heartache and sorrow because of that. We wish it wasn't that way, but it's part of the learning process. And so it's high time. For the night is far spent, verse 12, and the day is at hand. Yes, I believe this next decade, this is me talking from my own perspective, I think the next decade, next 10 years is going to tell a big story as to where we're going to end up, what, where things are going. It says, therefore, cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, which they're doing, and drunkenness, which they're doing, and chambering, sexual misbehaving, they're doing, and wantonness and strife and envying. Boy, it's all around us. It's there. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, whose image do we carry? The image of Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh, but to fulfill the lust thereof. In other words, your body wants to go one way, and you're going to say, no, that's not the right way. You've got to force, with God's help, go the right way. Oh, it's a struggle, folks, a real struggle. Let's take a look at Revelation chapter 3. Final scripture, Revelation 3. I'm sorry, not the final scripture. There's one more to go here, but in Revelation 3, starting in verse 10. Because you have kept the word of my patience, I will keep you from the hour of trial or temptation, which shall come upon the whole world. Is something already coming upon the whole world? Have we got this COVID-19 thing? Has it affected the whole world? Where do we look for protection? This even has a far-reaching implication into the future. But right now, he says, I will keep you from this trial that will try all the world. What? To try them that are on the earth. Everybody's under judgment. Judgment especially is on the house of God right now. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no man take your crown. Don't let anybody persuade you that the things of God don't apply. Because that's like a Pied Piper. They're going to be leading you off in the wrong direction because it's not what the Bible says. We began this sermon message with a question. What time is it? Revelation 22. This is the final scripture. Revelation 22. And verse 10. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of this prophecy. So the book of Revelation is a book of prophecy. The prophecy of this book. For notice again, friends, the time is at hand. The time has come, and God says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. That means morally defiled. If they're going to live, if they're going to love their pornography, if they're going to hang into all the evils and the things that God says don't do, stay away from, they're going to poison you. And you say, well, you don't care. He says, then stay the way you are. Let the filthy be filthy still. And he that is righteous, the one trying to do the right thing, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, those who are perfecting holiness in them, let them be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man, every woman, everyone individually, according to the work that they shall be. I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, or eternity, immortality, and enter in through the gates into the city. But everything in verse 15 that is a different way, and it, you know, is kind of terrible when you read all these things and you realize it says individuals who are doing these terrible things. Whosoever loves and makes a lie. Just think of that one thing. Do people lie today? Oh boy, do they lie. Lying has become a way of life for a lot of people. You really have to fight to constantly keep your mind to tell the truth. So there you have it, folks. This is where we are in the march of time in light of prophecy. And this is what the scripture has been telling us to do. And the admonition is upon all of us to put our shoulder to the plow and not look back. May God help each and every one of us to be the overcomers He's called us to be.